to go out.
Oh, Graham's in New York. Sends his love to y'all. Great, good on him. He's having a great time, so praise God for that. Are you blessed? Good. Question to you. Do we want to see the glory of God? Interesting question. And if it's a yes, then there are some things we need to begin to do, we need to start to do, we need to practice on a daily basis, even in our own lives. And the first time the glory of God is mentioned, it is mentioned in the Old Testament, and that is, it's mentioned in Exodus chapter 16 and round about verse 6 and 7. Exodus chapter 16. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel at evening, "You will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord." Wow. That's Moses making a statement saying, "You will see in the morning the glory of the Lord." But he goes on a little bit further and says, "For he hears your grumblings against the Lord, and what are we that you grumble against us?" You know, the people were complaining. They were complaining about the situation. Well, they're going to see the glory of God through complaining. I do not recommend that as a way of seeing the glory of God. That is not the way that God wants to reveal his glory to us. That was just one time when God revealed himself to the children of Israel. If you turn to Exodus chapter 24, I just want to set the stage a little bit. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 15. "Then Moses went up the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai." Different. Moses is going up the mountain to meet God, and God is coming down from glory, bringing his glory to meet Moses. And verse 17, it says, "And the eyes of the sons of Israel saw the appearing of the glory of the Lord. It was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. And Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights." Moses in the glory. And God's glory around Moses. And things begin to happen. And God wants you and I to realize that God wants to have his glory on the earth. That's why Jesus came. Jesus was God's absolute glory, and he came. But Jesus wants also, and God wants also, his glory to continue in his people. Because today, if you know Jesus and made him Lord and Saviour of your life, where is the glory of God? It should be in us. Okay? Let's just turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. And verse 10. "And it came about when the priest came to the holy place that the cloud had filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." Wow, this is powerful. And we're living in the New Covenant, the New Testament age. and we think we've got it all. But how many churches today? How many churches are seeing the glory of God? How many churches are having a visitation of God's glory? How many churches are having the cloud coming into the church and the presence of God being made manifest? How many churches are feeling a tangible presence of God? You say, well, I don't know many churches. Well, no, and I don't know of many churches, if any, at the moment, where there is a tangible presence of the living God. And the question is, why? Because I know there's a verse of scripture in the Bible that says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now let's just change that a little bit. God the Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Ghost is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would you agree that we can do that? Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So if Jesus doesn't change, the Father's not going to change. So guess what? We've changed. The cloud's not moved, we've moved. The presence of God wants to be in His people. The presence of God wants to come down amongst His people. But we have to learn now to come into that place where we approach God so that His glory cloud, so that His very presence will come in amongst us. He said, well, won't that scare some people? Probably will. Probably will. But you know, when God is... our God is a loving God. Our God is a compassionate God. And our God wants to touch lives. Our God wants to change lives. And the church is has gone so much the direction of the world's way, wanting to be an answer to its physical needs, its social needs. Yeah. But the church is here to minister to the spiritual needs. The church is first spiritual, then physical. These young men on the back could probably tell me, if I was down and out, where I needed to go to the social and to various other places, where I could get food, clothes, bedding, except whatever else I need. I don't know where they are, but they could direct me. But then I could say to them, well, could you tell me where I can find God? Could you tell me how I can get in touch with God? And they say, well, I know a man. Maybe you need to go see this minister. He can tell you. We don't get our spiritual needs met from social systems, do we? And the problem today is we've let the social system replace our spiritual needs. It's filled the gap. And we're comfortable. Savings in the bank. ISAs. Shares. Houses just bought. You know. And suddenly, the banking system is going down the tubes. And guess what? If they can, they're going to take everybody else with them. Really? This is sad, you see. Now, what you've got to remember is now, we've got to learn to rely on God. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, 2 million people, God fed them for 40 years. The shoes never wore out. The clothes never wore out. Sainsbury's didn't exist. Tesco's didn't exist. You know, none of these places existed. But God fed, watered them. Plus they had cattle. And God cared for them and looked after them. And do you know why and how? Because every day there was a presence of God with them. The cloud by day. The pillar of fire by night. And there was a presence of God with them every day. And the question we've got to ask is there a real presence of God with me today? And I want to say, Lord, I want to see, I want to feel, I want to have a tangible presence of You with me every day. I want, Lord, when we as a people come together That because every one of us has a touch and a presence of God with us, that when we come together, there is a manifestation of the Shekinah glory of God. You say, well, you're asking a lot. I'm just asking God to be God. I'm just saying, God, be God in this church. Be God in my life. That's what I'm asking. Now, guess what? The enemy does not want you to have God as God in your life. The enemy does not want you to have the glory of God in your life. Because the moment that the glory of God comes in your life, he runs. He's scared. Because you become a victorious person and you become a very powerful person in the things of spiritual dimensions. Jesus took 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and blessed them with the Shekinah glory of God. Tell me what he did then. Huh? What happened then? They still had 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Is that what happened? Fed 5,000 people. And there was still more left over. Can you see what I'm talking about? God is a God that multiplies. The Shekinah glory multiplies. God's glory is a multiplying glory. How do we get there? What do we need to do? Well, do you know where we start? We start where we started today in church. We start by praising God. We start by praising God. Praise is not the end, it's just the beginning. And today I just want to talk a little while just on praise. If you want to come into the presence of God, if you want to see the Shekinah glory of God, then you've got to start by praising God. Without praise you cannot enter into his presence. And we need to praise him that we might. The word of God tells us that we can come into his house, enter his house with his courts with praise, enter his house with thanksgiving in our hearts, lifting up holy hands to the Lord. That's what God wants us to do. So, how do we do it? Give me a suggestion. What's one thing we need to do? Pray. That's good. That's a good start. That's a good start. When you walk in, start and pray. Okay. Well, how do we praise God? Then we move from there. How do we praise him? With what? Your voice. Okay, you praise him with your voice. So what would you do with your voice? Sing songs, worship. What else? Anything else? What else could we do? Dance. Dance. That's right. Dance before the Lord. David danced before the Lord because the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back. Praise God. And so we can dance. What else can we do? Thank him. Yeah, that's a good thing. That's good. What else can we do? Ask him what we can do for him. Anything else? Kneel before him, yeah? Kneel before him as we pray and worship. Yeah, go on, they're coming now. Invite, oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Invite him in. That's a very good one, yeah. Alright, start church and don't invite God in. Just, sorry God, you can't come in yet. Could somebody just do me a favour and just draw those curtains at the back. It's right hitting on the floor, it's just blinding at the moment. Thank you. The other thing we can do is we can clap.
Yeah.
Can't we? Dance, we can clap. And we can praise God in all those things. That's great. So we can praise God in all those aspects and all those ways. And that's just the beginning of entering into the presence of God.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning of praise and worship that we come into. So we can praise God in Psalm 26 and verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all of thy wondrous works. Alan, that's another way. We can start to tell what God has done. What has God done for me this week? That's part of our thanksgiving. That's part of our praise. Because this week, guess what? God has looked after us. God has cared for us. God has protected you. God has kept you safe. And God has made a way at times where there has been no way. And so you come to Him and you thank Him. But the problem is today we take it so easily for granted. We forget to give thanks for God, even in the small things. Because He says that He says He knows the very hairs on your head. That's how much He knows about you. That's how much He's interested in you. He knows every hair on your head. And when you brush it and you get up in the morning and some are left on the pillow, He knows that you've lost a few. Or He knows what colour they are, you know, whether they've gone grey or not. He knows everything about you. That's how He cares for you. And so we need to tell about what He's doing in our lives. We need to tell others about what God is doing in our lives. That's praising God. That's giving thanks to God and for God. And you're letting other people around you know it. You're saying, do you know what God did for me this week? Really? Yeah. What did God do for you? Anybody got a word of testimony? Just a short. What's God done this week? Always provides a car parking space when she goes to work. Praise God. Essential. Anybody else? Oh, give me some good students. Oh, well, making life easier. Praise the Lord. God is good to us. The Bible tells us you have not because you ask not. And our ask, and sometimes we ask amiss. It's learning to praise and to worship God. Psalm 47 says, oh, clap your hands, all people. Shout to the God with a voice of joy. It says triumph in the King James, I think. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Clap your hands. You see, clapping draws God's attention, you know. Gets His attention. Clapping is a form of praise and worship and adoration and thanksgiving. We think it's, well, that's what you do when you go to a concert. No, it's not. That's what you do when you come into the presence of God. You can clap and rejoice and thank God for what He's done for you, because God is concerned about you and able to do great and mighty things. Praise God. So just rejoice in what God's done and give Him praise and give Him all the glory. Amen. Psalm 98 says, and verse 4. Psalm 98 and verse 4. King James Version says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud sound, a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, and with a voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. He says, make a joyful noise. Some folks say, well, I can't sing very well. God says, make a joyful noise. Make a noise before God. Be joyful. Be joyful. And as you rejoice and are joyful in the presence of God, you will see God moving. You know, if you're at a football match and you're cheering your team on, the louder you cheer, the team seem to play better, don't they? Whatever sport it is, if you, you know, you're sporting the Steelers. And you're shouting. And everybody's shouting and they're getting up to that pitch. So that the Steelers will do what they've got to do to win the game. And you get involved in it, don't you? What's different about coming to church and getting involved in God and saying, come on, God, bring on a miracle. You see, the reason they shout for the Steelers or for the local football team is because the people believe they're going to score. The people believe they're going to win. Yeah. Is that right? Otherwise, there's no point in shouting, is there? You encourage them on. Come on, you can do it. Yeah. We need to start shouting, God, you can do it.
Yes.
God, you can do it. God, you can do it. You can bring miracles. You can bring healing. God, you can do it. Who are you convincing? You're not convincing God. You're going to convince yourself.
Yeah.
And then you will come into agreement
with heaven. You come into agreement with the Word of God and you start to convince yourself, yeah, God can do it. God can do it. And you start pressing in. And you start pulling heaven down. And you start lifting yourself up. And so earth and heaven meet. And God touches the earth. And miracles, signs, wonders and miracles come to pass. This is the earth. This physical body is the earth. And God wants to touch the physical body. God wants to touch His people. God wants to touch the people who are out on the streets. But He's going to do it through you and through me. He's going to touch your neighbour through you, not through somebody else. He wants you to touch your neighbour with the presence and the power of God. He wants you to show the glory of God. He wants you to be able to call down and have the Shekinah glory of God moving in through your life, in your job situation. God wants to be able to manifest Himself through you. To children in school. To people that you work with. To people who are out on the street that you know. God wants to manifest Himself in you. You know more people on the street than I do. And if you get a hold of God, and you let God get a hold of you, then you'll change hundreds and thousands of lives in the future. And you will hear the word from God that says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." God's making room for you. But you and I have got to get involved. We've got to become motivated. Amen. We've got to be motivators. You have to learn to motivate yourself. These days it's so easy, isn't it? You get home and you think, "Oh, I've had a hard day." You get home, had a hard day. Sit down. Put your microwave dinner in. Take the remote. <laughs> 10 o'clock comes. News is on. Oh, forget it. I'm not watching that. I'll go to bed. What did you do? I'm not saying you should have been... Can you see what I'm saying? You can be refreshed more when you start to praise God than you can listening to the news or watching EastEnders or Coronation Street or... Thanks, Emmerdale. It's like I only have to hear the tunes and I change channel. It's not, cannot listen. No. But you know, you can energize yourself when you start to praise God. Amen. I know. I've come to meetings. Come worn out, feeling exhausted, and then started to praise God. And you know, it's like taking a flat battery and a battery charger and plugging it into the wall and drawing from the electricity and charging the battery. And then suddenly the battery bursts into life. And you think, whoa. Praising God. Put on a praise tape. Sing your own song. Wait on God for your own song. Sing a new song to the Lord. Well, nobody will know it. So what? You know it. God knows it. That's two. There's a majority. You and God are a majority. You've got to switch on to these things now. You're powerful. You can move in great, mighty things. Psalm 100 says in verse 4, and I've quoted that just earlier on, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Wow. We have a chorus, don't we? "I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. Say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will enter His courts..." I forgot that bit now. I will rejoice and be glad, for He is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness throughout eternity. You know, we can sing this and we can rejoice in what God is doing. And when you start to sing, your spirit begins to lift. Because you forget about your troubles, you forget about your problems, and you start to focus on good things. And the good thing is you're focusing on God and you're inviting God, and God hears you sing and He thinks, whoa, revival, there's something happening in the land. In the land. Get, you know, just, the land's this, okay? The land is not England, it's not South Yorkshire, you are the land. Amen. God made Adam out of the dust. You are the land. When the Bible says there's revival in the land, it means revival in you. See, revival can't come into just the ground. It has to come into people. God wants to revive you. God wants to strengthen you. God wants you to realize that He wants to hear you praising Him and magnifying His name. Micah chapter 4. Right towards the end of the Old Testament, nearly the last book, just a few books from the end. Micah chapter 4. This is a prophecy of what is going, well, this is a prophecy saying what was going to happen. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob. And He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Come, let us go up. Come, let us go up to the mountain. You know, Jerusalem and Zion, we are part of that. It's not talking about a physical Zion. It's not talking about a physical Jerusalem. It is talking about a spiritual Zion and a spiritual Jerusalem. There's a verse of scripture that God says that He will create a new heaven and a new earth. And the city of God shall come down. Who's the city of God? We're the city of God. We're the city of God. We're the earth. We're all that God has created. It's in us. God has placed it in us. And God wants you and I to realize the importance that you are in the world today. How strategically placed you are in the world today. You are important to God. You just have to get a hold of what God is doing. And you just have to begin to apply it into your own life. And you start by praising God. You start by just bringing praise to God. Just saying, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for what you've done for me this week. Thank you for what you've done today. Amen. You start to praise Him. Start to bless Him. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, by Him therefore let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks of His name. Now, sacrifice. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. What does that mean? What does sacrifice mean to you? Does it mean something painful? I've had to give up so much. You know, I've made this sacrifice to do this. So often people have this thinking in their mind when they use the word sacrifice, they've had to give up something. That it's cost you something. I've made a sacrifice. It's cost me something. It's been, and that the sacrifice, often they use that word sacrifice as to mean something painful. And most of what we've got to give up is not a sacrifice. I'll tell you why. When the first time that sacrifice is used in the sense for the people of God to bring a sacrifice, they are told to look for that which is perfect in every way, without spot, without blemish. Look for that which is perfect. Look for the best and bring that and sacrifice it to God with joy. It was a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. They were looking for the best. Most of us look for the worst and say, well, I'm about to give that up. You know, you hear people, well, I sacrificed smoking for Jesus. Sacrificed drink for Jesus. Sacrificed gambling for Jesus. I've made a sacrifice. And it's like, look at me. Poor me. I've had to make this sacrifice. And yet, when you look at it in the Old Testament, it was a sacrifice of joy. It was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you've saved us. Thank you, God, that you've kept us. Thank you, God, for this year that you've kept us and you've given us our harvests and everything's gone okay and you've cared for us, and we're bringing this sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we're bringing it with a heart of rejoicing and thanksgiving and praise. Whereas most of the time over here when we do a sacrifice, oh, I've got to sacrifice this for God, I've got to sacrifice this for the church, and we do it begrudgingly. That's not the same sacrifice that God is talking about. We bring a sacrifice of praise. Ooh, I've got to lift my hands up and give thanks to God. I'll look stupid. Well, whether you look stupid or not, I'd rather be in God's kingdom, in the presence of God, knowing God in my life, and having God moving in power in my life, than being miserable. God wants you to have the best. God's excited for you. He's got so much available for you, but will you partake of it?
I will.
Will you join in with him? Our sacrifice, thank God we don't have animal sacrifices anymore. The high priest and the elders don't have to grab the animal by the scruff of the neck, slit its throat and, you know, drain the blood and then cut it up and burn this bit and whatever else, you know, I mean, the place was swimming in blood and guts and spoils. It's like, oh, in the heat of the day, it must have reeked at times. And they did it with thanksgiving and praise. But today, the word tells us, in Hebrews, it says, the sacrifice that we bring, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. It's the fruit of your lips. So when we walk in and we say, thank you God, it's a sacrifice. Thank you Jesus, I just want to give you praise. Thank you Lord that you have kept me all week. That's a sacrifice. We bring in a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And Jesus is the high priest of your sacrifice. And he takes your sacrifice of praise, and he takes it and he carries it to the very throne, to the very throne room of God, and he places it before the Father. Your sacrifice of praise, your thanksgiving, and he gives it to the Father. For you, with your name on it. And the blessings of God begin to flow, because when there's a sacrifice, then God begins to pour out his blessings continually. And so as you sacrifice the praise of thanksgiving, then the blessings of God begin to flow from the throne room. That's the promise of God. That's where it comes from. So to be really blessed, we have to move into praise and worship. To see the Shekinah glory coming in our lives, we have to move first into praise with God. This is only the beginning. If you and I are going to see God moving in power, you're going to have to start to move yourself. You say, well, when will it happen? If we do it, when will it happen? I don't know. God may be testing you and me. How long will you praise Him? How long will you press in? How many weeks will you praise Him? How many weeks will you come with your whole heart? How many weeks will you come with your whole energy, with your whole mind to praise God? How many weeks will you do it before His presence manifests? Or will you get fed up and say, oh, see, it's not working. I did it 3 times and it didn't work. Do you know, if we did it 3 times, that would not, in measuring time, that would not amount to the same amount of time when the people stood having the opening ceremony of Solomon's temple. When Nehemiah was building the walls, and they were repairing the temple, he says the people stood all day and played snooker. No, they didn't. He says people stood all day and listened to the Word of God being read. They stood all day from morning till evening listening to the Word of God being read. And we say, if somebody goes on for 20 minutes, I've had enough, I can't concentrate that long, I'm going. Guess what? You're going to miss something. You're going to miss God. We're going to miss God. We need to press in. Yeah, but I'm comfortable, Andrew. Yeah, I know you are. God knows you are. God wants you out of your comfort zone. Because God wants to take you to another level.
Amen.
To another level. You get comfortable at the next level, don't worry about it. The next level's got, you know, you're at 1-star comfort at the moment. God's got 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, 6-star. He's got higher levels that He wants you to rise up to.
Amen.
Every one of you. God wants you to move forward. God wants you to move forward so that He can bless you. Praise is not the end, it's just the beginning. Praise is an instrument of harvest. An instrument of harvest. A sacrifice of praise in the Old Testament meant bringing, as I said, the best. That's part of the harvest. You brought the best of the harvest and gave it to God. You brought the best of the flock and you gave it to God. The best that came, you gave it to God. The world today, the attitude is keep the best for yourself and give all the rubbish away. And what's in the world comes into the church. God is looking for the best. God is seeking out those that will give the best. Not half-hearted. God is looking for those that will give the best. You see, there's a price to pay when you come to Christ. There's a price to pay. So often it's been taught, come to Jesus and life will be easy. I'm sorry, it won't. Come to Jesus and you become number one enemy of the devil. But that's okay because God equips you to deal with the wiles of the devil. God equips you to be victorious. And the first weapon He gives you is praise. When you start to praise God, the devil runs. He can't stay around praise. When you start to say, you know, things are going wrong, he starts to say, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. And the devil says, what are you thanking God for? Things are going wrong. Yeah, thank God, because that means there has got to be a miracle on its way because so many things are going wrong and man can't sort it, but God can. We've only got one loaf. You know, there ain't enough bread to go round. I remember a lady, and this is not too many years ago, had some visitors come from the church, visiting ministry. Didn't have enough food, and her husband had invited everybody back. Oh, dear. She's dead and gone to be with the Lord now, but she, I remember telling me the story. And she started to cut the bread in the kitchen. And she prayed over it and said, God, you fed the children of Israel. Trust in you. And she just cut the bread. And she kept cutting, and she cut enough sandwiches to feed everybody that came that evening. And she'd still got the same amount of bread left when she'd finished. Now, is that God doing a miracle? You know, that's today miracle. That's not something that happened way back in the Bible. That's a God that is still alive today. That is a God who is still working today. That is a God who's doing things now. This is the God we serve. We serve a God who is alive and vibrant today. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. And the devil starts to run because you've just quoted a scripture that has driven back the enemy, that has put the enemy on his back foot. My God shall supply all my needs. Hallelujah. I want for nothing. Even if the system goes bust, guess what? God can do it.
Amen.
He can do it. Praise God. How's He going to do it? I don't know. But that's all up to glory. That's up to glory. Talking to somebody even this week, who was in a meeting some time back. I mean, it's probably now 20 years. But they were in a meeting, and they started to pray for people. And people who had fillings started to get gold fillings in their mouths. Wow. God was moving. We have a God who wants to touch lives. We have a God who wants to reveal Himself. We have a God who wants to change your destiny.
Amen.
But it starts with you and me.
Amen.
It starts with me praising God. It starts with you praising God. It starts with you declaring before principalities and powers that are standing over us, that are seeking to bring down the nations. Because that's what they're trying to do. They are trying to bring down the nations that God is seeking to bring His nation to the top. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is seeking to bring that to the top of the pile. The kingdom of darkness is sinking under the weight of corruption, of deceit and backbiting, and the kingdom of God is rising. Now you might say, well, I don't see much of it. Well, start to thank God and start seeing in your own life the kingdom of God rising. And as it begins to, it's got to rise in individuals. It's not, you know, you can, if we said, okay, you know, we don't see the kingdom of God rising in here, tell you what we'll do. We'll go and find a church where it is, and we'll all go and visit that church, and we'll stay there for a while. Guess what? You'll still have to do something in your own life and your own circumstances, because the kingdom of God won't rise just because you sat in a church. Because the yeast has to penetrate into you and start some action.
Amen.
That causes you to rise. You know, when you bake bread, the heat and the yeast together begin to work on the dough and causes it to rise. There has to be a reaction. You can't just lay there all the third. You can think, well, God's going to do it. I'll just wait. I'll just stay here. God will do it for me, won't He? The problem is everybody's been having it done for them. We'll pray for you. Yeah, we will. But you better pray yourself.
Yes.
We'll stand in the gap, but we'll stand with you, not for you. It's people, we have to mature up and come up in God. If we want to see the harvest in our lives, and in the people round about us, in our family. So our lips will bring the harvest. We're bringing the harvest to God as we speak. Isaiah 57 and verse 19. That's not the verse, that's not the scripture. Moving on. Can't find it. Sorry. 57:19. I'm looking at 57:17. 57:19. Create the praise of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Verse 21. He goes on to say, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There's no peace for the wicked, but for those who trust God, there is peace. Well, you've got to adjust your focus. Don't focus on what's happening to the wicked. Don't focus on what's happening in the world. Focus on what is happening in the kingdom of God. Start to look at the word of God and say, what is happening, God? Read the end of the book. We win. We win. We're victorious. God is preparing a place for us. God is preparing things for us in the future. So you need to get ready. You need to prepare yourself. You need to begin to move forward in God. And so we press on. Come before the Lord. And, you know, let God create praise in you. And you say, well, what happens if the musicians don't know what I want to sing or the way I want to praise? Don't worry about it. Start to let yourself begin to praise and worship God. Start to move, press yourself in so that the fruit of your lips will be a sacrifice of praise. Will be a celebration unto God. Praise is an instrument of celebration. It's an instrument of celebration. Psalm 30 says this, and verses 11 through to 12. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off sackcloths and girded me with gladness. This is what God is doing for us. He's turned our mourning into dancing. Don't be sad, he's saying, anymore. Somebody said, you can dance. Don't be sad anymore. Don't be grieving anymore. Start to dance. Start to rejoice. Start to give praise to God. One of the other translations, it says he covers you with gladness. He encircles you with gladness. You know, you see on the TV, you see all these comedians, and they're telling all the jokes and making everybody laugh. But you suddenly start to find out that they, as personal individuals, are very sad people. Particularly some of the older comedians that have gone on and died now, the story comes out how sad, how lonely, how depressed they were. And you think, really? There's this front. And deep down, there's a void in their lives. And that void is God. It's a God void that's missing. And you know, when we fill this God void with Jesus, And we start to thank God and we start to praise God. And we begin to see that God is covering us and encircling us with gladness. And real gladness and real happiness. You see, so many people get happiness through things. They become happy because, oh, I've just got this new gadget. There's a show on TV, isn't there? The Gadget Show. I don't know if you ever watch it. And they do this last few times I've been doing this. If you can answer this question right, we're going to give you all this. And there is that much equipment, I don't have room in the house to put it. There's a 50-inch TV screen, and then there's a 30-inch, and there's 101 pieces of gadget that they're going to give away when you answer this question right. They did it last week, they're going to do it, and they did it the week before. And you're thinking, what would you do with all that stuff? And people are so chasing after things. Things seem to make them feel good. Trouble is when it breaks. Stupid motor car thing just will not go. Never done that before, have you? Eh? Hello? I didn't. But, you know, don't we? You stand, something breaks down and you know, and you stand there before an inanimate object. It don't talk, it don't think, and you go, a stupid piece of equipment, and you kick it and you bang it. There are times when we actually have to bang the amplifier in there and say, don't work. Well, just a minute, and you go up to it and you go, boom, fixed it, you know. But we haven't seen it. Problems with computer, you know. This stupid computer, you know what I mean? Pay all this money out and it stresses you. You know. Notice your joy levels go. You know, if you have a gauge, your joy level sort of, you know, this is your joy level. You're alright, you're up here, and then you turn the computer on, and it says, comes up on screen and says, fatal error. Oh no! No! And this, on this left hand side, is your stress level. And suddenly it goes, no, 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 and you're about ready to smash this thing. It's true, isn't it? And we're governed by things, aren't we? You know, your Xbox. It's not working. And they get stressed and they throw a tantrum. And the joy levels all disappear. Because the joy was built on the computer or the Xbox. And you lose it. You have a car, somebody runs into it. Oh. And your joy goes down, doesn't it? And your stress rises. It's a piece of metal. It can be fixed. Hallelujah. So rejoice. And praise God. Because stress kills. There is no record that joy kills anybody. Joy is a restorer, that's right. Stress is a destroyer. What? Yeah, there's always one. Yeah, there's always one. Yeah. So let me give you another one then. Most people die on golf courses. He's trying to play a bit of golf, you know, at the moment. That's just one back in, you see. I remember once going to play golf. They said, we'll go and have some fellowship on the golf course. Yeah, okay. So we all started at T1. My ball went that way. Theirs went that way. Somebody went that way. And I said, see you later. Mine's in the rough. You know, half an hour later, I found my ball. Then we got back to hole one. It's like, are you all right? Am I all right? You've got to be joking, haven't you? So we try again, aren't we? This time it goes that way, you know. He's like, oh, where be that, you know. And it's like, are you having fun yet? No! You know, stress levels up here, joy's down here. You know, it's like, this ain't working. Glory to God. So we got to let our joy. The word says the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Clear off. Hallelujah. Don't ever go and sort him out. The joy of the Lord is your... You see, the devil's trying to rob your joy. You know, get you stressed out and somebody else chucking bricks at the window. Rejoice in persecution. The devil will send an angel out, and if you don't send an angel out, he'll send Tony out and buy a gun. I don't know which is going to be the worst. But in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God.
Amen.
That we are to rejoice and praise Him.
Yeah.
And magnify His name.
Amen.
Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 1. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth.
Yes,
we're doing it with his mouth. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're doing it with our mouth. We're making known. And we're giving thanks. We're bringing a sacrifice of praise and we're giving thanks to God. Do you remember this one? It's over here. Solo, you can't hear me. This one fits in. You see, when you read the Psalms bring you to a place of praise. Most of the Psalms were written as songs. And this is from one of the Psalms. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Now wait a minute. Now Tony's only just come at meeting.
Aye.
I'm just good on you. Just listen to me. Hear me out. Yeah, good man. Now hear me out. Yes, good lad. Now listen, he's not long been in. And you know when we were talking earlier, we said one way that we can give praise to God was by... What were you just doing a minute ago? Clapping, you see. And we can clap and we can praise God.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Of the mercies of the Lord forever, I will sing. Of the mercies of the Lord, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever.
See? And already you begin to feel better. You already begin to... Glory to God. Wow, praise God. Again. Hallelujah. And that's the psalm.
Thank you, my friend, for this one, mate.
Bless you. Thank you for helping me out.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate that. Give him a clap. Come on. See what I mean? That's, yeah, that's excitement. That's excitement, you see. He's breaking with all traditions. It rattles some cages, you know. Ooh, what's he doing? Oh. Don't panic, don't panic. God is still on the throne. You know? As Jonesy says, don't panic, don't panic. You know, don't worry, God's still on the throne. Things are still good for the believer. And we need to sing. I will sing of the mercies, of the blessings of God forever. I will sing. And as we sing and rejoice for what God has done for us, we will see God moving in mighty ways that we've never seen before. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls. Isaiah 64 verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace. Day or night they shall make mention of the Lord, keeping not silent. God's looking for watchmen to be on the walls that are going to declare the glory of God day and night. Not going to be silent. They are going to make declarations. And do you know what we're going to do? We're not just speaking to people, but we are speaking to principalities and powers and rulers in these last days. And we're speaking to them and we are declaring the glory of God. That's what we're doing. We're bringing the kingdom of God into the world today, and we're declaring it before principalities and powers and rulers in high places, and we are on the throne with Jesus. We are seated with Him in heavenly places, and God says, declare it. Speak it from the rooftops. Declare it from the strong towers, and let the people around you know that God is on the throne. And as we declare, we will see signs, wonders and miracles coming. Because it says, signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of the word. And we need to bring the churches back to the point where signs and wonders are following the preaching of the word. The problem is today, we're in church situations where everybody's saved, everybody's healed, nobody needs anything, because we're in the wrong place. We need to be taking it out on the streets with us when we talk to our friends. You need to be operating in signs, wonders and miracles. That's what it's all about. You are the church. Glory to God. It's not a building that's the church. This is a piece of brick. If they were to make it a garage, it would be a garage next week. I'm the church. You're the church. This is the building that God inhabits. The praises of God inhabit this building, and when we come in here, we sanctify this building, whether it's a sheep shed, a garage, a railway shed, whatever it happens to be. When we come in, we sanctify it. And we sanctify it with our praises. And when we begin to praise God, we'll sanctify the place and drive out the enemy. So don't forget, keep making mention of God. Praise and worship are eternal actions in the kingdom of God. They create eternity. They create your destiny. And so you need to work that through and cause it to happen. Revelation 19, and with this one I'm going to close. I've got a lot more I want to do on this subject. I'm going to keep going on this one for a while, I think. I want to see God's Shekinah glory. I want to see the presence of God coming down. You know, I want to stir people up to that point where we're pressing through. Revelation 19 and verse 5, it says, and a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. Give praise to God. This is a declaration from the throne room. Give praise to God. And as we praise God, we will see things happening. We're going to see things change. Revelation 4 talks about that the beasts, when they began to praise God, The 24 elders bowed down and began to say, "Holy, holy, holy." That's where we're going to come to. When God's Shekinah glory comes in, it's going to be holy, holy, holy. And we will see many signs, wonders and miracles. We will see the presence of God coming down. We will see manifestations. I believe we'll see angels. God's in the business of revealing Himself to His people. God is not seeking to hide Himself from you. He wants to show Himself. He wants to show you His glory. And He wants you to carry His glory. You are a vessel. You are a vessel. What does He want to put in this vessel? His glory. His glory in you. That's what God wants. Let's just pray.